Reporting from the Shire, this is Alex Serrier, podcast editor at the Stillwater Area High School Pony Express. The school board has decided to delay the decision on the bold recommendation until March 3rd. The delay will provide more opportunities for residents across the district to learn about the bold proposal and its impact on all the district's students. The school district's bold plan proposes to consolidate three elementary schools, Marine, Oak Park, and Withrow. The Stillwater School District states that the demographic shifts makes the move a fiscally responsible way to better meet the learning needs of all students. Many residents object the plan. In other news, PSEO information meeting for parents and students will be held on March 10th at 6 p.m. in the main forum of Stillwater Area High School. Representatives from Century College, the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, and University of Northwestern St. Paul will share information and answer questions. Stillwater Area High School took fifth place in the 2016 Minnesota State Science Bowl competition. 32 teams from across the state participated in the event last weekend. Several Mata Media High School seniors signed letters of intent to play basketball, soccer, and lacrosse at the college level, including Matt Schwartz, who plans to play lacrosse for the Air Force Academy. Schwartz looks forward to competing with teammates who share his love of the game. St. Croix Prep recently held a day of service through the National Honor Society. Students thought globally while acting locally on an array of service projects, said Lauren McClare, National Honor Society treasurer. It's so fulfilling to see students working and serving alongside each other in such a productive and enthusiastic manner. In the busy environment of college prep school, it's heartwarming to spend a whole day helping others instead of fixating on our own lives. Stillwater Area High School is now home of two Super Bowl mementos. The National Football League presented SAHS with two golden footballs in honor of former Ponies who played for Super Bowl teams. Bob Nelson and Bill Barnett played for the Ponies during the 1970s. This is Alex Rear, podcast editor at the Stillwater Area High School Pony Express, reporting for the Shire Literary Center.
Local student news is sponsored by Coffee Cottage in Mata Medi. Whether before school or after, stop on by for coffee, smoothies, and other tasty treats. No time for lunch? Try our freshly prepared sandwiches. Located across the street from Triangle Park, Coffee Cottage is the perfect place to do homework or just have fun connecting with friends and family. Mosey on in to Coffee Cottage or give us a call at 651-407-0942. That's 651-407-0942. Great staff, fantastic food, delectable drinks. Come to Coffee Cottage to relax and recharge.
Today's episode of Voices in the Valley is sponsored by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Inventory is at an all-time low right now. If you're thinking of moving, there's no better time to sell. Go to WendyGimple.com to see how Wendy's skills and expertise can help your real estate experience exceed your expectations.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to the Voices in the Valley. Today and every day we are celebrating the creative spirit and nurturing the art of storytelling. My name is Steph at theshireonline.com and I'm here with my co-host and dear friend Dina Livingston.
That's me.
And also Jenna, our producer, is
extraordinaire.
Good morning.
Yes, she is here to save the day.
Keep you on time.
Because I always have a tough time.
Ramble.
I don't know like how you to rhyme. Now, go. All right. Anyways, yes. Okay. Case in point. Just proving the need of Jenna right here and there. So anyway, if you are joining us for the first time, you are here to help us celebrate the sixth episode of Voices in the Valley. We are halfway through our 12-week series, How to Write a Novel, which is very, very, very exciting. And we're really glad to be able to provide this step-by-step approach to capturing your story on paper. So, I don't know. What do you think, Jenna? Should we have a little celebration music to...
Give me 2 seconds.
Ooh, I'm the timekeeper now. I love it.
Way to throw a curveball at her.
I'm spontaneity can work for you sometimes, and sometimes it can be a problem. But anyways, we have had a lot of fun. Our previous topics have been developing a writing routine, creating memorable characters, building conflict, outlining plot, developing setting, all of those things. And they're available on podcast at theshireonline.com and also at klbbradio.com. And here it comes. Oh, we're going to celebrate. Woo!
Ooh, baby.
Halfway through. And to help us celebrate today, We are going to be learning about writing good dialogue, and we're going to have on Kim Thompson, who is the programming director at the Shire, and David Arndt, who is an author who lives in Stillwater, who will be releasing his first book this spring called The Grim Patriot. So it's very, very fun. Rebecca and Jill are going to come on to interview him and find out. Wow, we're just all about music today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
It's quite the...
And find out about his book and how he created good dialogue and also how he got it from paper to the publishing house. So that will be a fun thing to do. But we are here on Voices in the Valley. Voices on the Valley is produced by the Shire. We offer creative writing opportunities to secondary students. So check us out at theshireonline.com. All right, Dina, we're going to turn to Kim and see what she has to say about how to write good dialogue.
And that's so important in a book. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. So technically, how to write good dialogue is not grammatically correct. In formal writing, we would say how to write dialogue well, but that's kind of the point, because we rarely speak with grammatic precision, and in fact, we're quite sloppy. So I am delighted to have sitting next to me Kim Thompson, the programming director at the Shire. She's going to be joining us on Voices in the Valley to share some tips on writing, well, good dialogue. So, Kim, welcome. Thank you for coming onto the show. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And I should just say that you have just completed your own work of fiction. Is it a novel or a novella? Remind me of that.
It's a novella.
Okay.
And it's not published, but we're working on that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I can't wait for when you come on the show to say it is published and this is where you should go to get it. So tell me, was it hard to write dialogue?
You know, it's interesting. I thought dialogue would be more challenging than it was. But one of my tricks is to put someone I know in the role of a character so that it's easier for me to hear them talk. And the way that they use language then becomes the same approach this character uses. And that helped me a lot because I could hear the voice of the person I knew, but the reader would only hear the voice of this character.
Oh, that's really interesting. So here's the question for you on that. Does that mean then that the person who you based it on could read your book and say, hey, that's me. That's my language.
Yes. And also, you know, you have to be so careful because you may misrepresent or possibly go off on a different direction once you get to know your character. And so there may be some of their voice still left in your character, and maybe not.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm going to try that. So what's another good tip for writing dialogue that you found useful?
Well, it's funny because my favorite dialogue writer was Ernest Hemingway. He's really known for not giving a lot of fluff, but rather leaning heavily on dialogue. And I like to do that, too. I like to show someone's character through what they're saying and how they say it, as opposed to describing the character outside of their words. Another tip, I think, is even though we often don't use perfect punctuation around dialogue, you should still know what is ideal and traditional appropriate punctuation before leaving that and using poetic license. You don't want to write dialogue however you wish before you even know what the rules are. But then you can break them.
So do you eavesdrop? Should people be concerned if they're in a coffee shop and you walk in?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, well, yes. I do. So I'm just saying, watch out there, people.
I actually get a lot more from watching TV.
Oh, interesting.
I also get quite a bit from listening to my students talk while I'm at my desk.
Well, that is a fantastic segue into another thing I wanted to talk about with you, because Jenna's being a meanie again and playing the music, saying that I only have, you know, one more minute left with this lovely lady here. And you are running a book club for the Shire. Or not a book club, a writing club.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about that.
I will. Our writing club is brand new. We run it out of the Stillwater Public Library upstairs, two Tuesdays a month. Right now, after just two meetings, we already have 9 students.
Wow.
They all seem very interested. They did a lot of laughing on the last round. So it's creative, mostly student-run. I try to step back and let them make decisions.
So tell me, in the 30 seconds we have remaining, if I was a student and I signed up, which I'm assuming I would do by emailing kim@theshireonline.com, what would I expect? What would I see when I arrived at the library?
An opportunity to have a voice in how it would be run, as well as a chance to read your work and get feedback.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So if there are any secondary students out there who are interested in being a part of a writing club, please contact kim@theshireonline.com. Kim, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. It was a joy.
It was great to have you here.
Thanks, Steph.
It's always so fun to learn from Kim. She's taught some classes at the Shire, and the students have a great time and learn so much. It never feels like school when Kim's around. It always just feels like a whole lot of fun being creative and playing with the imagination. So thankful that Kim could join us today. Well, I am going to have the opportunity now to talk about the North Main Street Merchants. And I feel so fortunate to be living in Stillwater because there are fantastic merchants on North Main Street to visit, and they have some pretty fantastic promotions that they are offering to listeners of Voices in the Valley and to those who participate at the Shire. So I encourage you to go to theshireonline.com and check out underneath the menu about our chauffeur page, because we have some great deals. Studio One Yoga has an offer to take a class for $10. Daily Grinds offering 50 cents off a cup of your favorite coffee. Valley Bookseller has 10% off of books. You can then go to Candyland, get some Chicago mixed candy for free, or Chicago mixed popcorn.
Oh my gosh,
I should say.
So
oh, and we smelled it today.
Oh my gosh,
It was so delicious. And okay, I maybe did this in the wrong order, because technically you should first go to Victoriano's Pizza and pick up one of the free slices of pizza that they're offering. And then finish it all off by going to Reincarnation's Home Furnishings. Find something for your home and enjoy a wonderful cup of coffee free, just to wander in and say hello. So definitely check out theshireonline.com, go to the About, then select Chauffeur Tour and take advantage of those deals. So, and you know, if you like Stillwater, there is nobody better to represent you in the real estate market than Wendy Gimple. Actually, she is fantastic wherever you go in the cities, whether it's St. Paul or it is, even Wisconsin or...
she's just all around good realtor.
She's just all around a good realtor. And, you know, Wendy has been making it clear that inventory is really low right now and that people are looking for homes. There are more buyers than there are houses. So give Wendy a call. She is our gal. Check her out at wendygimple.com.
How do you spell Gimple again?
G-I-M-P-E-L. So Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y, G-I-M-P-E-L.com.
Excellent.
Well, we are going to move into the student-hosted section of our show. Once again, we are so grateful to Valley Bookseller for providing sponsorship of the interview with David Arndt. Valley Bookseller is such a fabulous place to wander in. And you know what, Dina? They have everything. The other day, I had some time, so I just wanted to go in to explore all the lovely titles that they have. And I realized I was wearing my contacts, and this is so sad, but I need readers.
Oh, are we there yet?
Oh, I am, and I didn't have readers, but guess who did?
Valley Booksellers?
Yes, they did. And they have saved me many a time when I needed gifts for people and bought lovely books, both for babies to adults, and they will wrap them and make them look pretty, and you can go straight to your destination with a fantastic gift. So definitely head on down to Valley Bookseller or go online to valleybookseller.com and check out all the wonderful things that they provide. But let's move on to our guest, David Arndt and Rebecca and Jill. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Voices in the Valley on KLBB 1220 AM. We like to celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling here at Voices in the Valley. And I am delighted that we once again have our hosts from Matamidai High School, 11th graders Jill and Rebecca. Welcome back.
Hi.
Thanks for having us again.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Well, we are delighted that you are joining us because we have a special guest again. And usually I let the student hosts introduce, but today I am going to exercise my power and my control by being the one to do it because I have a burning question I have to ask him. And so will you forgive me?
Yes, we'll consider it.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you'd at least consider it, I'd appreciate that, because we have sitting in between us David Arndt, who actually is, well, he's in a neighborhood that I used to live in, and I just have to ask you, David, as a past neighbor, mm-hmm. and of someone I'm so jealous of, because you have done something that I would love to do, which is you have completed a manuscript, and not only completed it, but had it published. And so here is my question for you. What did you do when there was that wonderful feeling of satisfaction when you had written the manuscript and sent it off to the publisher?
Well, I'm glad you asked. That night we decided, in honor of the book, which is entitled Grim Patriot, we would go to Patriot's Tavern in Stillwater, which happens to be about a block from where I live. So the family and I went over to Patriot's and celebrated with a wonderful dinner there. It's one of our favorite little spots to go to, and we felt it was fitting given the genre of the book that I wrote and the name of the restaurant. In fact, I think I probably typed two or three chapters in that restaurant over the course of writing the book.
Ooh, can you point out the booth? Can we put a little placard that says David Arndt wrote here? Because that's where I'm going to write. I'm going to go to the Patriot now. It's the magic spot. It's not only Cheers.
Let's see how we're doing in 12 months with book sales. And then we can discuss that corner booth and see if we can set up some sort of sponsorship.
Because I'm thinking writer's corner in Stillwater.
Yeah, of course, you'll have to pay me royalty on anything you write in that booth, because it'll be my lucky booth.
Well, you know what? If I actually earned royalties, I'd probably be pretty glad to pay you for that. So I love Patriots. I know my husband and I used to always walk there, and you always know someone there, and the food is magnificent.
Yeah.
And here's a little tidbit that I just found out. I don't know if you knew this, but I learned that they have a menu that's friendly to celiacs. And so they have all of their pizzas can be ordered gluten-free. And then they have other items, salads and sandwiches and all that sort of thing that also are celiac-friendly. So the food can be delicious in a multitude of ways. So
I actually did know that because a good friend of mine is celiac, and we discussed it at one point. So
that's so cool.
He mentioned it to me,
Well, I love Patriots. And I am being reminded, actually, by the title of your book, Being the Grim Patriot, that that's what we're here to talk about. So thank you to The Patriot for being a supporter of the Shire and Voices in the Valley and allowing me to wax eloquent about them. Well, actually, you did.
Yeah.
I'm just here to support you on that. So next time we'll have to talk at The Patriot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, all right, Rebecca and Jill, I am going to really close my mouth now and turn it over to you. So zipping it before Jenna plays the music on me.
All right. Well, hi, David. We're really happy to have you here.
I'm really honored to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah. So, besides what we have clearly established that your book is about patriots and being in the past America, what else can you tell listeners who may not be aware what your novel is about?
Sure. It's a historical novel set in Philadelphia in 1775. The main character is Joseph Grimm, thus the name Grimm Patriot. Joseph is a young man who is lost in his life, looking for purpose and something meaningful to do with his life. And he happens to stumble into a situation where he ends up joining an organization that was newly formed in November of 1775 that was known then as the Continental Marines, which is now the United States Marine Corps. So he's there on day one when the Marine Corps is formed at Tun Tavern in Philadelphia. And the book follows his first couple of weeks with that organization, and so it mixes a little bit of history and a little bit of old-time espionage, and it's a fun story. I hope people enjoy reading it.
Well, Jill and I both got to read an advanced copy of the novel, and we really enjoyed it. Could you tell us a little bit about the role that dialogue played in shaping that story? Because we noticed that there was a lot of excellent dialogue within its pages.
I really appreciate you saying that, because that's something that, as a writer, I'm proud of when somebody says that I write good, effective dialogue. Some of my favorite authors in the genre, historical fiction, are those authors who can really master dialogue. And it's a real trick with history, because as an author, you have to decide, do I try to stay true to the period of time that I'm writing about, or do I make the language more modern for the modern reader? Because there might be language and terminology that was used in 1775 that people just simply wouldn't understand. And it's a hard thing. You have to do a lot of research if you want to make really effective dialogue. There's two authors that I kind of drew on for inspiration in that regard. One is Larry McMurtry, who wrote the Lonesome Dove series of novels about the American West. And I don't think there's a finer writer of dialogue anywhere that I've ever read. I mean, it's amazing, rich, rich dialogue. And then Patrick O'Brien, who's my favorite author, and wrote the Master and Commander series. So if you saw the Russell Crowe movie, Master and Commander, that was one of those books. And he's another guy who wrote incredible dialogue, so much so that he had to publish a book called A Sea of Words, which is essentially a dictionary that you can use to look up the terminology that his characters speak, which is very authentic to early 19th century Great Britain. So those two really inspired me. So I spent a lot of time working on the dialogue to try to get it right, to get it so that it felt good.
Yeah, so, I mean, you totally touched on this, but if you want to go a little bit more in depth, what is it like trying to create dynamic characters while still trying to remain true to the time period
of
the 1775, 76 era?
Right. You have to decide how authentic do I want to try to be. And to be to really create authentic dialogue, you have to do a lot of research. You have to be looking at original documents from the era to get a feel for how people spoke back then. Mm-hmm. And this is my first book, so I tried to blend it. I tried to make it modern speech, but yet something that approximated some of those documents and letters that I've read over the years from the period of time. So it's a blend. I think to get it right, it would require a lot more research than I was able to do.
Right.
But that's something that, as a writer, I hope that I get better at each and every time. Yeah. You know?
That sort of leads into another question that Jill and I came up with here, which is that a lot of students find it difficult to reconcile real-life conversation and story dialogue because they are very different often. Could you give us some advice about finding some sort of happy medium?
Write what you feel, what you really feel the character wants, should be saying in that moment. And then later, come back and look at it and tweak it and, then worry about your word choice and your tone and things. It's important, I think, to create the character and say, what would the character be thinking and saying in this moment? But then there's always time to go back later and look at the language that you're using and what you're saying and what the character is not saying, which is sometimes just as important as what they might be saying, and tweak it and kind of work on the dialogue after the fact. Because if you get caught up, this is the lesson I learned, and it took me a long time to learn it. If you get caught up in editing and making a sentence perfect while you're writing it, you'll never get off the page. You'll be working that same page for a long time. So just write it down, let it set, and then come back to it later and work on it and make it more individual.
Okay, well, yeah, that's excellent advice. I'd never really thought about dialogue being created so much after the original first draft, you know, as part of going back and editing. That said, after you finish your first draft, draft, sorry, what's the next step towards seeing it in print? What's the next part of that process?
Well, you know, you have to be willing to let somebody else look at it. I was really reluctant to do that because, again, it's my first book, and I take a lot of pride in it, and I think I told you earlier, I'm both excited and terrified because,
right.
You know, I've put so much time and effort into it. But it's really important to get another set of eyes looking at that text and giving you constructive feedback. And don't be afraid of that. Don't be so emotionally mm-hmm. involved in what you're trying to create that you won't let anybody see it, because there are things that I looked at on the page 100 times and it looked good to me. Mm-hmm. But that was just because I'd seen it 100 times. And
okay.
I had somebody else look at it, and they said, you know, this is kind of confusing. Can we talk about this? And that was actually happened to me, my wife, who did a wonderful job helping me edit the book. So just don't get caught up in the editing first, and make sure you get somebody who can provide you with some good sound, constructive feedback, and don't be afraid to show it to them.
That's great advice. Mm-hmm. I always worry when I'm doing my own writing, you know, about what other people are going to think about it. That's one of the biggest things that keeps it in my notebook.
Not right. My eyes only.
Yeah, exactly. So we love the Valley Bookseller here in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit about the importance of independent booksellers in the publishing industry now that you're a part of it?
Yeah, well, I love small bookstores. Other than probably a couple of chapters that I wrote at Patriots, and I'm not trying to be too obvious about it, but I spent a lot of time at the coffee shop that's in Valley Bookstore writing this book. They don't
because
know
it's
it, but
incredible.
It is. I was just there. I had a cup of coffee about half an hour ago. But I spent a lot of time at the coffee shop. I love small bookstores. I love to be able to go in and touch and feel a book. I love the smell. I'm not much of an e-reader myself. I've got to have the book in my hand. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, those small booksellers are such an important part of communities like Stillwater where we are. Because it's just a gathering place, and it's a place you can sit and relax and really have the whole experience of reading as opposed to, you know, something where you're just downloading it. And nothing mm-hmm. wrong with downloads. Please download my book. But I like to have the copy.
Yeah, you know? Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and that's something that we're so fortunate here in Stillwater mm-hmm. to have
yeah.
such a lovely bookstore. So I have to just ask you, speaking of bookstores, so The Grim Patriot is currently at the publisher.
Yes.
And you're getting the cover art done mm-hmm. and completing all those final pieces that must happen before it gets into the bookstores.
Right.
About when do you think it'll be available for us to buy?
Oh, I'm really hoping that it comes out here in the next month or so in March. But in dealing with a publisher, you know, they have a process, and it's very careful and thought out. And they're going through helping me identify the cover art. And I'll get a chance to look at those proofs in the next week or so here to see what the book actually looks like. And then at that point, once we've resolved that issue, we'll be ready to go. So
that's
hopefully
fantastic.
In the next, you know, 30 days or so here into March, we'll be able to have the book on the shelf.
Awesome. Thank you, David. And thank you, Jill and Rebecca, for doing another fine and wonderful interview. This is David Arndt. His book, Grim Patriot, will be out in the near future. Will you please let us know when
it comes
absolutely.
Out? And I really appreciate the opportunity to come talk about it.
Well, thank you for sharing about dialogue, because our whole show today has been about dialogue. And we know that a good tip is to put someone you know in the role of a character and use them to determine how your character might talk. To also reveal your character by using dialogue to show their traits and characteristics. And then, you know, good old Joseph Grimm, I can't wait to read his scintillating dialogue. Mm. And that was helpful to use authentic documents to mm-hmm. kind of base that off of. So those are all good tips. So, and I'm going to find that booth at the Patriot to settle yeah. down in there. Right.
Creative
so,
spot.
Thanks to Valley Bookseller for sponsoring our author interview. A good read is always available at Stillwater's independent bookstore. And thank you to everyone out there for joining us here on Voices in the Valley. Please come back again next week, 10 a.m., KLBB 1220, as we do Ooh, Yum, How to Describe Details with Candyland. Voices in the Valley is sponsored by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Find out how to list your home to attract the best buyer by connecting with Wendy on wendygimple.com. Thanks for tuning in to Voices in the Valley on Club 1220 AM.